check what I say. And also, because I had divided this basically into three different topics, and I know when you're sitting listening, after 20 minutes, your brain goes, what? So I'm making myself a little ding at 20 minutes so I can make sure I'm on to the next topic. How does that sound? I really want to first of all do say that how happy I am to be here today and to see friends who've come some distance to hear me speak. So, and I began to get phone calls saying, you're going to be there, we're coming. And that really warmed my heart, because sometimes I feel like I've kind of pretty well semi-retired and I don't get out as much anymore like I used to. I don't travel as much, unfortunately, because it was one of the things I love to do. So it's nice to know that people remember you, you know, and one day you'll know what I mean, for sure. I just wanted to also set up, when I was thinking about this, when Carol first approached me to see if I would come and speak, it's like, well, what do I talk on? I have all this knowledge from a long time ago. So I thought, well, excuse me, we'll put it into three. And so the three concepts I really want to explain and have you understand when you go to leave is the soul and its journey, not just here, the importance of past lives and how we're unable to be present in the present. So we're going to, and then I was thinking last night, because I never overplan these things. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of notes to make sure I kind of stay a little bit on track. How do I start off? Where do I start off? Because the journey of what I've learned is really related to my own personal journey. And I can say, well, my journey started in the beginning when I went and learned how to read tarot cards from in a different way when I was a whole 20 years old. And then another really big thing happened that changed a large duration, because many of you know I produced the psychic fears all around the Pacific Northwest for many, many years, 11 years actually, all told, and taught, and heck, students, and that's why my body, I think, is worn out now a little bit. But there was a situation, I became a minister for a short while with religious science people for the whole 9 months. And that didn't really work as well as I liked. Oh, it really worked for me, but not the situation I was in at the time. So I left that, and I was kind of burned out from everything. Divorces, health, not so much health issues then, but just economics and stuff, which all of it's on the path go through, I believe. At some point, mine kind of came late. I used to do a lot of life readings for people, and I would see that people had a lot of issues either in their youth, or in their middle years, or in their latter years. Well, mine kind of was in the late middle, latter more. So anyway, I was kind of really not sure what I was doing, but I'm from New Zealand originally, which is why I speak a little bit funny sometimes, and I got the inner calling to go back home for nothing more, less than 3 months. So at the time, I was out of my divorce not too long, but it was kind of like, well, I have to do something for money. And I'm a bookkeeper and a clerk typist, so I thought, oh, I'll go into an office work. And my voice said, no, you're going to go and draw souls. Believe me, I am not an artist. My grandmother was. My daughter is very good. Some of my nieces are very, very good. But me, no. So, draw souls? So anyway, I listened. So I got myself a little pad about 4x4, and some pastels, and I was kind of burned out from reading tarot, so I didn't really want to do that at the time, so I ended up packing my cards, and off I went to New Zealand, and there were some shows going on down there, so I had, my sister-in-law gave me a card table and two picnic chairs, and I started drawing people's souls. Well, when I say drawings, they're impressions. They really are impressions. I take some colors, I weave, and it takes me about a minute and a half. Okay. And I can tell how that soul has progressed from this life, from when they first were born. I go from birth, I don't worry about in this incident, although sometimes pre-birth comes up. And I began to find where they had blocks that they hadn't got over, that they hadn't shifted or changed, they just were stuck. And some of those were quite a lot of them, and sometimes there were just a few. I also saw the energies, the different colors representing different energies that came. And from there, one day, actually I happened to be in Penticton visiting friends, which is why I live in Penticton now. I love the place. And a friend had come, who was living in West Bank at the time, came down to visit me and said, "Oh, it's funny how things go from friends. Ah, this is what she said to me. I just had a friend that went to this workshop for the Ho'oponopono prayer, which is not what we know today as the Ho'oponopono prayer, believe me. But anyway, that's what I was called. And, you know, there's a way you can clear like these basic levels." So we got our pendulums out. Good crystal, me and my pendulum, you know. So here we go, I was pendulum, finding out what was going on for certain things, and basically the four levels: physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. At the time, my little granddaughter wasn't well. We didn't know that she actually had a severe case of cancer and would, within another few months, would have left us. So I'm working away with this prayer, doing it. Now, this prayer method, because I was already trained in the religious science to be a practitioner, I'm very good at prayer. I really am. And so this prayer method wouldn't leave me. So I have clients, I'm doing soul drawings, I'm seeing they have blocks. Oh, I have this new technique, says me. Let's add it. So what I began to do was have them, we used to add, to clear the different things so that they would have their souls cleared. Slowly, I began to add more things on that floor. Today, actually, it's in my room. I have a sheet that covers just about everything I know. First of all, I put my intensive stuff that I teach people in on it. Since then, I've been guided because I get a little metal pendulum, and I always have a little other. Is there a block other? Yes. Do I know? Nope, you don't know it. Oh, so we just start the prayer, and I learn a whole lot of more stuff I didn't know. So my whole excitement about people's souls grew and grew and grew. And more people would come, and we would do this as I call myself a transformation therapist. They would come, and I would see where the blocks are held in the bottom, these different centers and energy levels, and clear them for them. It was really funny, I have to tell you this. I spent a good portion of my life saying, you've got to do your own work. And now here I am saying, oh, let me clear this for you. Let me take care of this. It works, but it was like I had to do a 180, you know, to be able to do this work. And one of the little sections I had on there was the soul. So I began to follow the soul back to when it first came to Earth. And a lot of people arrived here very angry and upset. And not what we think of the soul being delightful and, oh yes, we're coming to planet Earth, how wonderful. Just exactly what I mean, to be on this wonderful emotional planet. And they couldn't figure out why sometimes things weren't working well. So one day, a few years ago, I had begun to start going, okay, well, where was the soul before it came here? Where did it come from? Why is it writhing angry? Why is it sad? Why is it this? Why is it that? I'm asking myself. So one day I sat down and said, I'm gonna follow it back all the way. I'm gonna go back as far as I can. So when I want to have some people that I want to, I don't want to say experiment on, that doesn't sound right. I put it out on my email list saying, anybody want to, I'm starting doing this, here's a reduced rate, you can come. So the first few times, I kind of didn't know what I was getting myself into. I didn't really go as far back to the very beginning. And I found some interesting things, which I'll share with you in a minute. But then, I worked with this one person, who had no idea who that was now, and I went back to where the soul first emerged. Changed my life. What I saw was a huge opalescent, like a planet, but it wasn't really a planet, it was just energy. Opalescent. It was so big I could only see, well, kind of like looking at a breast without a nipple. The rounded part down, I could only see that, I couldn't even fathom the vastness of this. And then out of this vast, opalescent energy came this drop. And, you know, I was expecting love. I was expecting all sorts of things. What I found was none of that. What I found was pure essence. Absolute beingness. Free of anything but being. And so what I tend to do when I do these is go back, writing down what I see, get to that place, and then I come back forward. And people who have experienced this with me now, because we always have a conversation after, have found that it explains themselves to them, why they are the way they are, why they are a certain way. Now, there's some trends that I've found, and that's kind of what I wanted to share today. I went somewhere and I was speaking. Oh, I was at Wesleyan, I think, last year, and I was talking about this. And someone said, oh, there's a hypnotist that's done a lot of work with this. And he's found that people come out and they go to a nursery. I hadn't ran into a nursery at this point. But then, he's done thousands, I've done a little, right? Okay. But I've got that in the back of my mind. The rest is, I read a couple of, didn't read a lot because I wanted to stay with my mythology, because you can create, we know we can hear something and recreate it. One day I found there was what I call them now is the overseers. And how I found the overseers, first of all, was not at the beginning. Was that I was working with a very good friend of mine. And we both had the same name and we travel a lot together. we've known each other for many, many years. And anyway, when I came back, I went back and said, oh, there's a lot of hesitation about coming into Earth. A lot of hesitation here. And she said, doesn't sound like me. So I said, okay, well, let me just see. And then I went, oh, I'm going backwards. I have no idea of the story yet. Oh, I'm in a green healing space. Oh, it feels like you've been chemically burned. Ooh, I wanted out of that fast. But then I saw how calm that she was becoming burned, as that she was on a planet. And unfortunately, I've seen this planet several times, and I don't like it every time I see it, and I want to get out of it as quickly as I can. We think we have war here. In this planet, they're very cave, I don't know if I can explain it, is they're very caveman-like, they're kind of matted hair, they're humanoid type, they're brownish, probably think of a caveman kind of. But they fight with sticks and stones. That's the only thing I've ever seen in this place. Well, the story with my friend goes, she had been a space traveler, which, by the way, when I go back in the souls, there tends to be some element of space that comes up. And I'm watching that for some Pascal stuff in a minute. I'll bring it up. And it comes in the soul drawings, it'll come out of it. I'll tell you the joy. And the one thing I love about this is that I get to see all these things. I got to see the cosmos. I got to see a new, whole new, little solar system begin to be born. I got to go to the edge of the solar system and look out. But what I found with my friend was the pure joy of travel. This is, my friend travels all the time. I love to travel, which is why we often do trips together. But she lives to travel. And right now she's not, she's very... Because she just wants to be traveling. But you see, what had happened after eons of being a space traveler and so happy, she figured it was time to move on. And so she, what I call, flitted a little bit, and then she ended up in this nasty planet and didn't know what to do. What happened was, this is the first time I ran into what I call the overseers. Tall, tall, very white beings, no facial pain, and just picked her up and put her in the green. And I went, wow, I didn't know that somebody was really overlooking everything. I thought we had layers of freedom. But she was in distress. She would not have made it. That soul was being burned because it went from this joyous place to this very horrible, horrible, darkish, whatever you can imagine. Anyway, we went back and we did a lot of healing and everything like that that I usually do as well. But what that first explained to me is like, who are these overseers? And I had this all tucked in the back of my head, and I still haven't answered it totally. Then, a couple of times since then, I've had the little beautiful, I just love going to that place, comes out, and there are the overseers. So maybe this is the kind of nursery they talk about. And they're kind of like on a streamline, kind of pointing out factors. One of them is actually given, like, what do you call it, a nudge to be able to keep track of where they were. But I had one most recently, and the people said, oh, this is a special one. I heard it. This is special. And they put it over there to deal with later, because they had others that they were kind of, I guess, trying to figure out who you are and what you are, what you got and what you haven't got. I don't know. I just know that this, anyway, this little dude, he's getting tired. He's getting bored. He's just sitting there. No one's paying any attention to him. So he wanders off. This is how it felt to me. And he wanders off, and I'm seeing him, like, big, at the fairy realm, kind of looking in the fairy realm, watching all the little fairy people. Fairy dimension is wonderful. And so many people go there and are there. And I do know from my, when I'm doing channeling people's guides very often, it comes through, they'll say, oh, you've got fairy blood. And there has been a crossover with fairy blood. But the fairy dimension, so here's this dude looking at there, oh, look at that. And it's so funny because he looked like Gulliver's Travels. Peering in. And that's how it looked. And then, you know, they're just telling, oops,
that's somebody calling me. It's always wonderful. I'll just click it off. She's forgotten I'm speaking. My good friend. I thought it was. That's not the time that's supposed to say my time for this is up. Before I shift on. So anyway, then he was basically, it was like, the overseers, where's that gone? Where's that one gone? Can't they go looking for him? They grab hold of him. And then the most amazing things began to happen. He was taken and he was taught all of the geometric stuff that we talk about. He was taught how everything fits together. He was taken to the artistic dimension, where he got to see and experience colors. He got to see, the healing dimension, how to heal. He got taught. I said to him, "I have my senses that you know more than I know." It was, I said, you've been trained for something. I have no idea what it is. And now he's here on Earth. Now, Earth is a strange place. You haven't gathered already. And I said to this young fellow, beautiful soul, by the way, absolutely beautiful, hadn't been anywhere where he had any distress in any of his soul experiences, which is not always true. The friend that just phoned me here, by the way, is a planet I've seen before where I saw her as an egg. And it's a bird, big bird. They have like big birds, huge, like huge ostriches, and they have predators. And I've visited there several times, two times I think, with different people who've been on that particular planet. Isn't it just, while I talk about planets, I've seen lots of dimensions. A very green planet, it's totally green, not that big, very dense. And I have a place I call Venice. And why I call it Venice, the first time I ran into it, it reminded me of Venice in the 1800s. Not the water, but how the houses kind of were all built and how the people were all about how you looked. And it's a very political place. And it's actually a place very often where people get sent to Earth from. Well, I keep running into it. And I'll come back to that. So, this young man was here and I said, what do you want to do? He said, I don't know, but I have this feeling I'm here to do something. I said, why don't you go and teach people how to play? And he looked at me, and he said, that sounds like a good idea. I don't know if he's going to do it or not, because I just had an hour with him. But tell you, warms my heart to know that when something special comes out, the overseers are looking after it, making sure it's doing its job somewhere. For the rest of us, what have we done? What's our journey? Where have we been?
What have we encountered that we still carry today? You see, when I started working with transformation work, the first time I ever ran into a person who had a contract that wasn't completed, that where she, it was a lady, my 20 minutes, that's a good transition.
Stop, and we'll start again. Oh, jeepers, it's supposed to be quicker than that. Go. And,
but she was sent here. She didn't come here by choice. I meant to ask a question first. How many people believe that the soul comes here by choice, really, before I say anything? Most of you don't. It's a myth. And I hope to expose today several myths that people believe, which is absolutely not true. Do you know how many people get sent here? You know, and the only way I can explain it is, England used to send people to the US and Australia. Rebels in a planet, if you're on a political planet and you're a rebel, I do find there's a penal colony too. I found that. That was another soul journey that was very interesting. But people are sent here. Why? Why are they sent here? They're sent here because this is an emotional planet. And when we have to learn about emotion, then it's not easy. See, mostly out there, when we're looking at the soul, it's very mental, to be honest. And not the way we think, not about our thinking, but mental. Very much in the sense that this is how it is. And then you get the kind of other rough ones. But basically, it's about what is. Drawing the dimensions, or healing, or having fun, playing with the fairies. Schools. Going and learning. But here, we have to deal with this body that is tied into the emotional being of who we are. And as we're tied into the emotional being, what is happening? We get stuck because we're taught, especially those of us that grew up in Christian and other religious backgrounds, we are taught that certain feelings are bad. Do you know how many times when people come in for readings with me and I look at their emotional, because it's so important regarding your health and other things, and I'll say, you judge your feelings. Yes. And then you look at their health and very often you can see why. For instance, I mean, I was once listening to a very large, well-renowned spiritual speaker. Huge hall. Thousands. And he told someone, when they asked a question, that to be angry was bad. I wanted to get up and walk out, except it wasn't really politically correct to do that. When you study and you go into the feelings, if you go into anger, what you're really angry about most of the time is that you feel helpless. And you feel helpless because you feel unworthy that whatever that condition is that made you angry is. It can be changed. So it's really an unworthy issue. It's really about feeling unworthy because you don't feel connected. You don't feel that you can have the right or the awareness to have that situation changed. And so all those denser emotions, what I just say to my students and clients, name them. I'm feeling angry right now. Let it go. After a while, you get to know why you're feeling angry. And my students, I say, go for your helplessness. Go to see what actually is having you feel helpless. And that's just one example of being stuck here, and which is leading me into the past life part. So wiggle your bodies a little. We're leaving the cosmos a little bit.
And I'll have a sip of water. People ask me all the time, so how come past lives? Because after the tarot, I learned about past life regressions. So it's done a lot of work with it.
Loads of workshops around the world for groups. I do more groups than I do personal. But I get more work. I usually kind of direct them to the transformation work because I feel it's more effective. So why do we have life after life after life? And how come it's so important to know them? This is why I've got the board here. Because I didn't know if I'd use it or not, but I'm going to because I feel like I need to. men very nicely came and put it up for me. I'm going to write this because I want you in your mind. It is the moment of death of any life that is the real importance. Because at the moment of death, here, when you're going to leave, you know everything about winter when you arrive. It's all clear. You can look back and go, oh. What we found, or what I found, as I began to examine more and more of these, because the first time I started, when I first started learning this, we did it as a sightseeing event. I'm not going to explain how, what. I wrote a book that's got that information in it. But three major things. A little word called regret. You know what that is?
No.
Anybody in this room that has regret?
No.
No hands up? Oh, you great character. You gotta play with me here. Who has regret about something? Come on. Guilt. Anybody here feel guilty about anything?
No.
And strong emotions. I hate that person. Do you know how I came to terms with the word hate? My mother told me, Mama, you can't hate anybody. So I'm working on being that emotion, whatever the emotion is, I have no tie to it, right? And I could not get over the word hate. But sometimes I feel it, like I hate this thing. So I said, okay, what is it really? What is it I'm really feeling? And I went, you know what? Hate is really avidly disliking. So what do I avidly dislike? And at that moment, it was Brussels sprouts. So after that, hatred is easier. I can use the word, you know. Actually, I lost a client one time by saying that word. Well, you can't say that word. And I was very tired, and I went, I'm not going to argue with him, which I would have normally. And he never came back. And he was a very successful man, but he didn't want that word hate. We have these kind of things around words, and actually it's one of the things in my intensive we work on, to deload all emotion around words, whatever they are. But we're talking about dying at the moment. When you go to leave your body in this life, or any life, and this is why past life regressions can be really, really important. You need to make sure there is no regret, guilt, or strong emotions going with you, because if it is, you're going to take it into the next one for sure. So what we do, I'm going, can you got that? I'm just going to rub that out, right, because it's not. I'm writing big so you all can see it. Because what happens when you get born? Is this. Can you kind of see down here? This is you being born. Is that what we call a this is where the soul knows exactly what this life is going to present. Preconception, the conception. From the concept, the way I teach this is, from conception on, since birth, and then you go on out through your life making all sorts of decisions. Some are good, some are not so good. Some of them you wonder why on earth you were born. But from conception on, whenever you encounter an emotion, especially a strong emotion, you are going to reach back in your memory banks and you are going to connect with the last time you experienced that emotion and remake the same decision. My mommy does not want me. I am no good. Do you know how many people make that decision when their moms find they're pregnant? My moms don't want to be pregnant for many reasons. Soul feels the energy, reaches back, remakes the thing here. I'm no good. Bottom line. Bottom line feelings is I'm no good or I'm unloved. I'm lovable. Either one. Okay? Now, this happens throughout life. You hit a place here, you're going to reach back to the last time, which could be here, that you made that decision and you will remake it. That's why we call them programs. You put programs in place. where we, what I love to do is when we put you through a past life regression, you go back and you can see yourself in another life. It's separate from you, someone else. So it's a lot easier to do often that transformational work. Now what happens when we die? I don't think we talk about this enough. I've talked about it for years. A light comes. You've all seen the movie Ghost, right? We're all been up in here when it was the current planets. And if you're younger, go get it and see it. The best way of really explaining it. Sam gets killed. The light comes for him, and what does Sam do? He's caught in a strong emotion of, what's going on? And therefore, this is the light. Why do you think we meditate? We learn to take this little mind of ours and go, and quiet it down so we can concentrate. So when the light comes from us, which is full of love, we can embrace that love and go where we're going to go to. But my mother, who had not really been to a church for goodness knows, I can't remember how many years, but was raised very strictly, was frightened of dying. Other people are frightened of dying. Because no matter what put in there was hell and damn fire. And we have regrets and we have guilt and we have emotion. And we're not taught to embrace universal love energy enough. So in that moment, you've got to be open and let go of everything. So the more you do the work to let go of your regrets, your guilt, emotion, etc., the more you're going to be able to embrace that love and go where it needs to go. Sound nice? It is. Don't fight it. You are worthy of loving. You are that unique, beautiful, wonderful soul that popped out from somewhere, a big mother out there, and you've been on a journey. And you've had, most of you have had lifetimes, and I mentioned I was going to talk about people who are from the stars. When I'm doing a soul drawing and purple comes out as the outside color, I always say to the person, you remember not from not being here, right? You remember, you love the stars, and they always say yes. Because they still have a memory. They haven't been here a long time. Because I've lectured lots over the years, I've had people come up to me and are very excited. I stand on anybody's toes with this, I apologize beforehand. And they would say to me, all excited, I've been told I'm an old soul. And very often some of them have an arrogance with it. And I look at them and I smile and I say, yes, we just didn't get it, did we? Because as long as we are still tied emotionally, we will keep repeating and coming here. We will keep coming back until we can feel all our emotions and let them go through. We can love regardless of what anyone's done to you. We've learned forgiveness. We've learned all those things. And then we can, when the light comes for us, we can go into the light really, really easily. I just want to check my time because I want to see how much time I've got left in this section. That's okay. We can go into the next segment for sure. How would you like to close your eyes for a moment? I'm going to kind of do a quick regression for you, okay? It's not going to be long. I'm going to give you an idea. What's on my CD, what's on my DVD, which I don't have here, and what the exercises in my book called Many Lives and Many Ways of Remembering Them. So I'm not going to do your big because you're all relaxed. You've all had lots of exercises about being relaxed. I'm going to take a deep breath. And I'm going to ask you to use your imagination. And I want you to imagine a sky, a beautiful midnight blue sky with stars in it. And as you're looking at that midnight blue sky with all the stars in it, I want you to ask yourself, which star represents a life that relates to me right now? Which star represents a life that relates to me right now? And a star usually will signal itself. It will pulse, it will get bigger, brighter, and if it doesn't, just pick one. It's always the right one.
Once you have that picked out, it doesn't take very long. Don't be picky. Just go with it. I want you to fly through space and time into that starlight. And I want you to let the starlight become around you warm and light. If it's cool, that's okay. Some people work with cool energy more than warm. And I want you to begin walking, putting one step in front of the other. And as you put one step in front of the other, you'll become aware of what's on your feet. And as you keep walking, you'll feel the ground firm up underneath you. You'll have become aware of what's on your feet. Look at your hands. What color are they? Are they large? Are they small? And you keep walking. And as you keep walking, what kind of clothes go with these feet and these hands? And if you don't know if you're male or female yet, ask yourself, am I a male or a female? And what age am I? And just let all that information drop in. And as you're walking along, how do I feel? What's the feeling I have this day as I'm walking along? Now I want you to walk back to where you live. And it's like we fast forward now, so we can just fast forward back to where we live. I want you to notice, is it in the city? Is it in the country? Is it large? Is it small? And no matter what it is, I want you to go inside where it's the main meal of the day. And I want you to sit down and take your usual seat and just notice, what's my role here? What is my role? And if there's other people in the room, you may recognize some of them from this life. And if there are other people, what do they call you? What is your name? What is your name? Where is this place as we would know it? And just let it drop in. Whereabouts is this place and what year is it? Now I want you to fast forward again. But this time I want you to fast forward to the very last day of that life. I want you to see yourself as you are then. I want you to see, I want you to feel actually how you feel. And you can ask yourself, do I know this is my last day? Surprising how many people do know, and some don't. I want you to look back over your life that you've had there. And as you look back, just ask yourself, what did I come to understand and learn from this life? What was the main understanding and learning, if any? As you look back over your life, is there anything that you regret or feel guilty about? Maybe hurting the little dog outside. Is there any strong emotions that you have about anything? Again, just make a note of it. Just information. Now, it comes time to leave the body. And I want you to look around, well, actually you as that person there, for the light that comes for you. And what we're looking for is the love that's contained in the light. It doesn't matter the color. But whether it's close or far away, I want you to bring it to that person. Sometimes you've got to get in there and help a little. You're going to feel that light come around you. And I want you to feel the love. I want you to feel that love that's there. And into that love, I want you to give the regret, the guilt, and the strong emotion until you're 100% filled with love. When you are 100% filled with love, when? Then you let go of the body. And you go up into the light. And I always think it's a very good thing to begin to go up into the light, because we've got to get used to that. It's not something a lot of us get used to, letting go of the body and going up into the light. Because the light will always take you where you need to be.
And then I want you to disengage from that, and I want you to draw your attention back to this place, here and now. And I want you to scan your bodies. Have a look at your body here. Where in your body do you have that guilt, regret, or emotion? Where are you holding it? Because if you have it in a life somewhere, you've got a relationship, you'll have a relationship with that, you'll have it somewhere in your body. So I want you then to look around for the light for you. And bring that light in and let that go. Just let it go. And fill yourself up with this loving light. And feel the love and know how worthy you are to have that. Because every single person on the planet is loved without measure. It is up to us to allow it. It is up to us to know, yes, I deserve this. Because it doesn't matter what you've done. There's no judgment in love. It just loves. You just have to let go. So when you feel that you've let go all your guilt and your regret and your emotions, and you feel peaceful with that love and allowed it in, or you can just take a nice deep breath and open your eyes and be here. That was a little faster than I would like, but it's good, okay? How was that? Some people find interesting things? Yes. Put the hand up if you did. Yeah. Good. I have great success with this technique in groups. If ever you want a group to do this, let me know, because I do. I have phenomenal success. I don't know, maybe it's just the process that I came up with, but it works. It gives you an opportunity to let go. And group sessions are always much more reasonable on the pocketbook than private ones. You see, we need to let go of the stuff that we bring in, because we're going to come into the third session. Just tickle your bodies a little bit and come back in here, because I'm getting heavy on you then. Because we live in this life. You know, when I was younger and I was the businesswoman and the psychic and the mother and the wife and the, you know, I had a situation come up when I was 30 years old and I realized I didn't have a clue who I was. I was all these roles. And that was the beginning of me on my personal journey. At that time I was fairly well known already. I had a wonderful life in so many ways. And you know, all of those things happen not because I planned them or wanted them. I teach manifestation, but none of the big things ever was something I even imagined in my wildest dreams. They showed up and I said yes. The thing was, there was a time in my life when I was so full of love of God that I thought everything would have been a yes. So I lost my discernment and I made some terrible decisions and really didn't go very well. And that's when I learned, you can know this. And yes, life is yes, but you've got to use your brain. You're given one, use it. So that was a really big lesson for me at that time. So because I teach manifestation, last weekend, I did a little 3-hour workshop on clearing blocks for manifesting. A small group, because I only put it out in my email once. By the way, I do have an email list, and I usually once a month send out what's going on. I've always got something going on, usually. And it was amazing how we block ourselves from creating what we want. Deep down, we all know what we want, right? We know what we want. We want to be happy. We want to feel joyous, maybe peaceful. We want to have a relationship that works. That's a biggie,
unfortunately, these days.
Economically, we want to be, so there's another one of my things, spiritual prosperity. We want all these things, so how come we don't manifest them? I'll tell you the main thing. I'm going to tell you this on my little board here, because you can put it when you see it written. How do I spell it right? What does that word say?
Decision.
When you create some goals, you've got to decide that you want that goal, and then you need a second phase. It's not just one. You've got to... Is it one, three, two, or two?
One.
I'll do it. One. Spelling is never my biggest thing, as some of my books show. Anyway, do you know how many people got this? And I've had... clients, I tell you, sometimes I pull my hair. That was years ago. I'm so much more taller than that. I had this lady come to see me. I think I wrote about this in my spiritual book, actually. And I got my cards out in front of me, and I said, "This looks like scrambled eggs. What do you want?" And she turned to me and said, "I don't know, but God does." And I said to her, in all sincerity, "How? Tell me how God knows." "Oh, he just knows." "Oh, okay. How does he know?" "Oh, he just knows." How we think is how God knows what we want. That, all that little bitsy thinking that we do, we're putting an order in out there. "Oh, yeah, the big things are going to drop in." Because that comes from somewhere else. Day-to-day living. How are we thinking? Everyone says think positive, think negative. I got rid of those words a long time ago. What do I want? And it's with that voice. Unfortunately, personally, I tend to get complacent. I create what I want, and then I get complacent. I say to my students, "Please don't do what I do, do what I say." Is there any other complacent people in here? I have to remind myself. That's why I love teaching. I mean, I just started a tarot class last week. By the way, if anyone wants to join in, it's easy to do. After this next Tuesday, forget it. But you've got to know how you're thinking, feeling, and responding. Now, it's all in the tarot. So I love the tarot. I was so privileged to have a teacher who was taught by his guide a brand new method of reading, which I have continued to go on with, refine, and work. And I have attended many tarot conferences where I'm the lone voice of psychological reading. I am not, someone called me a fortune teller the other day, and I work at Words Don't Charge Me, and I got charged on that. I had to go home and do a process on it, because I don't like, if someone calls me a fortune teller, fine now. I am not a fortune teller. I have no idea how to tell fortunes, but I can look at your life and tell you what cycle you're on, what's working, what isn't working, but tell you that you're going to go on a holiday? No. I'll tell you what the outcome of your holiday will be. Very different way to look at things. But what it does for people who study with me, they learn how to think, they learn how to feel, they learn the patterns of life. Do you know there's really, when it comes to thinking, there's four, the first four symbols are the wand symbols. You have the thought, you contemplate the thought, you push the thought out, and then you celebrate it. That's only 4 out of 10 cards. It's the rest where we live. We overthink, we get upset, we work everything together, get it back on course. What I love about the tarot also, it always shows how you can make it work. Oh, thank God. When I get myself in a tizzy, oh, what now? I'll do this. The answer's always there. Cups. The embracing of the divine into your life. To feel that love and that embracement brings healing and peace. And we celebrate. 3 out of 10. What do we do with your grief? Grief. What do we do with grief? What do we do when somebody, we're sad about something, or we get hooked on the past? We just talked about that. Oh, 20 years ago, he left me. Do you know how many people come and sit down and say, well, my husband died 7 years ago? Or something similar. I empathize, but it's like, so, now, what do you want? Am I going to have a new relationship? When you let him go, yes. But, sorry, because I don't fortune tell. I'm going to direct you as to how to go create your life. If you're pining for something that happened and went and left, you haven't completed your grieving process. Why would you want another person in your life? I have great news, though. One of my clients who worked with me, who was really hung up on death, she had lost a brother and a husband, and years and years and years ago, got married a few months ago. Got married. Actually met another man very quickly, because they're older. Got married. She let go. She came to resolution. That's why I pay sometimes to do a little bit of work. Then there's the wonderful suit of swords that tells us how do we respond. It's just one symbol. When you have an issue come up, deal with it. I remember the first time I really recognized that. It was a long time ago now. And I was always like, I love, anyone knows me, I love movies. In fact, I've got a movie blog, which I haven't because my hands are being a bit sore. I haven't been working the last few weeks because I've got a lot of movies. What else have I got to do? That's why I said to someone, what else do I do? By myself, I go to movies. So go back a lot of years. Husband, two younger kids, and I want to go see a movie, but he doesn't want to go. And I wasn't a very independent person then. And I remember what I had just learned from the Ace of Swords. You have a problem, decide what you want to do with it. You either deal with it or you go into confusion, which leads into the other symbols. I mean, you know what, I'm going to go to that movie. I want to go to that movie. And for years and years, I've gone to, even when I've been in relationships, I've gone to movies by myself, and people would say, how can you go to a movie by yourself? Why not? I want to see the movie. The friend that phoned, she's my movie-going friend. So, it's probably about Box Trolls. You want to go see Box Trolls. We'll probably see it tomorrow night. I'll see it tomorrow night. Now that's just the basics. So how do we change thinking? It's all right to say, okay, I have these thoughts, but what do I do? I'm going to tell you my secret of changing thought patterns. Some of you are here know this, but you've heard this before. It is really important to know what your goals are. So at least you're working at least on three. I'm complacent, so if I've got one going, I'm lucky these days. But when I was younger, I had lots. Many, many. So you need to learn and create how to be an observer. So you can watch your thoughts flicker across your screen. I use driving my car, watching TV, which I do quite a bit of, and other things to observe my thinking. First of all, I know what is my thinking, not the collective consciousness. So if I have a stray thought coming in that I know is not mine, I go, oh, where did that come from? Because there's thoughts happening all the time, but sometimes we log on to them and we make them our own. And that's where it's really, I'm going to make myself a note to talk about energy. So if you have a goal you want, and I'm going to bring an affirmation to you in a minute, and you have a goal and you have a thought that says, don't be so silly, you can't have that goal. What you do with that thought, remember I said I don't deal with positives and negatives. Do I want that thought? Yeah. Freeze it, evaporate it, and replace it with the goal. Not a better solution, not a better look at it, the goal. Okay, got that? Affirmations. I was so glad because no one was talking about affirmations like I was, and I finally read a little sentence in Louise Hay's book. The power of an affirmation is to find out what doesn't agree with it. I have a CD there. It's called Transformation Affirmations. And it's all set up for you to work on your own self-image and self-worth to find out what you have in your subconscious that does not agree with the statements like, I love me, I trust me, I'm loved, I'm lovable, I'm beautiful, I'm worthy, all those wonderful statements. Boy, when I started out,
I love me. Oh, yeah, right. Those are the ones you want out of there. That's like finding the weeds. How do we find the weeds otherwise? They're so subtle, unless you give them a little bit of space to go up and say, don't be so ridiculous. And the key is that a majority of them is not even in your own voice. Mothers, fathers, husbands, teachers. Some people have had to do what I'm going to tell you on my voice. You can see why. When they come study with me, I say, go home and do the energy release. Another CD I have here, my biggest self. I was an absorber of energy. I absorbed things. And when I learned this technique of how to let energy go, mine, others, mine, not mine, but mostly others, my life changed. I tell a story that one time I did an energy release on my father that lasted for way over an hour. We got into the bones, everything. And he sent me $1,000. Because any person's energy that you have within you has its own agenda. It does not care about you. It cares about the person we're coming from. It has their agenda. And what I've discovered is so many of us are running on other people's agendas, we don't even know who we really are. So when I say let go of guilt and regret and all those things, is it yours or is it your parents? Is it your husband's? Energy releasing, as far as I'm concerned, if nothing else happens, that is the main thing to make sure that you can have your present life work so that you can be present. So that you can be here to enjoy what is going on. Yes, we have these big things like souls that have traveled the infinite. I have to tell you, there's one thought that came rushing in. Just recently, I was through someone's soul in a spacecraft at the very edge of the cosmos, looking into absolute blackness. And it was fine. I would never experience that myself. I'm looking through someone else. We have these wonderful, magical things, but the truth is, where are we living? We're living today. We're living today with me every morning having a difficulty getting around right now. It's lovely, but when I work, the energy flows. Which is why I keep walking, because if I stand still, I'll fall down. We need to know what our decisions, what we really want. Do you know that every goal I really wanted, that I decided, I have had? I was giving myself a little kick in the pants the other day and said, come on, what do you want now? I just came back from a trip to Victoria with my daughter. I turned 70, she turned 50, so we planned this trip away. I had a friend drive me down to Vancouver because my hands right now don't like driving too far. But I had a wonderful time, and one of the things we did, we went and had high tea at the Empress Hotel. It was something I wanted to do. And I remember we're sitting there having this very high-priced tea. I just warn you if you want to go. It's a nice experience, but dig deep. And I told my daughter, Mom, she said, Mom, how much does it cost? Don't worry about it, dear, tonight. But it was wonderful for me psychologically to get out and see the sea, because I've lived most of my life by the sea. And be. But I decided that. I told her I want to go to Victoria and be a tourist. Well, I couldn't walk around and be a tourist, but I got to do what I wanted to do, and she had a ball. We had a great time. We had 4 days, and I just didn't stay. I managed to see my son briefly on our way to catch the ferry, because he lives in Tawasin, which was a treat, and that's it. And to Victoria, out back home. So what now? What do I decide to do now? So you see, it's like we must keep, for those of us on the older scale of things, that we must still keep having goals. We don't want to have our world, because my world got pretty small around May, very small. I was in pain 24/7. So much so that my kids got worried about me and came out and visited. What? And my dear son was so concerned I wasn't eating, me not eating, well anyway, I could still drive to the, you know, drive-throughs, not good food though. He made up a whole thing in my freezer for me so I could just go there and get it. And every Sunday when I talk to him at night, I talk to him every Sunday night, I phone him, because don't even wait for Sam to phone you. I phone him. He says, are you eating okay? Yeah, I'm eating okay. I'm getting better. Because all of a sudden, it's things like this. I'm going, I love this kind of thing. So if you know of anybody that needs someone to come out, do it, because it'll help me get better, for sure. So I just want to check. Where was I? I'm not quite sure. I think I got myself lost in my stories, which can happen. Pardon?
You're at an hour.
I'm at an hour?
Yeah.
Yes, time it down. So I can still have another half hour because we started late.
30 minutes?
You sure?
All yours.
Well, I was thinking we used up 30 of my minutes, so I was actually thinking I could just wrap up. But no, you want more? Do you want more?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see what I have in coffee. Gone over. Okay. Let's go over a little bit. Are you going to tell me the next? Can you tell me? I'm going to make it for 15, okay? Because I want to do a little bit more wrap up. Myths. Let's talk about some of the myths that we have. That we choose to come to Earth. Well, when I ran into that, when I thought it was really rare, and then I found out it wasn't so rare, that people then, the worst one I ever encountered, which I think it was just through a regular transformation session, actually, it was like the soul was in, she was anesthetized. I have trouble with the word. You know, when you are put under anesthetic? She was just, you know, like, and most people know they're coming here. They're sent here, but they know they're coming here. This lady didn't know where she was going. She woke up. She didn't know where she was. She didn't know what's going on. And at the end of the session, and I don't remember what we were actually looking at, but she thanked me. She said, I have spent my whole life feeling like, where am I? What is this place? She said, I talked about what this place is. But she said she found out why and how that had come about. And that's it. We have to have some learning. And we can theorize all we want. Here's another big myth. Everybody got to choose their parents. How many believe that one? Come on, don't be crazy. I don't bite. Oh, boy. You know, what I used to say years ago is that, because we found out very early when I'm doing my inner child process with my students, that a lot of them did not choose their parents. And I would say, oh, well, maybe you chose by not choosing. That's a cop-out. Now what I find, there's lots of reasons why people arrive when I was doing the inner child process, and I did a lot before I got into my other work, which is quicker and more effective, as far as I'm concerned, to a large degree. I had one lady come. I've written up this as in my, with a light book. She'd had a horrendous childhood. She walked in looking magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. Beautiful body, hair, makeup, blah. And when we got back to where she was, why she chose this body that she was coming into, because remember, at preconception, everything is known. It had a good body. That's all she wanted, was a good body. She didn't look at the situation she was getting herself into at all. It was horrendous, but you would never know. Didn't show on her at all. She had her good body. So we did a lot of work on that. Another gal came to me. And she had a tough time. She had been, the family had split up, and her brother had been sent somewhere else. But when we got back, what had happened, her brother was older than her. And there was a soul connection between her and her brother. And she followed the brother. And then I think when she was two, something happened in the family, and the brother was sent here and she was sent there. So she again didn't look to see what were the possibilities that could come up. She just saw, there's Billy, let's go. But one of the ones that I love the most is a friend of mine, not the one that phoned. She suffered a lot from depression.
She found out that she had been adopted when she was 5 years, when she was around five, I can't remember, five or seven, but she found out she was adopted on the street when she was playing by somebody saying, oh, this is so-and-so's daughter, I'm just raising her. So when we went back to look at what was around that birth, she was a part, I was a phenomenal group, actually. I've been back to this group again in another scenario. Very wise beings. And this, she was part of this group. And this group says, that baby's not going to make it. And turned to my friend, said, it's your turn, go on. Didn't know nothing. It was just like, her turn, come down, take over the body. Because the soul was gone or whatever. So rather than have the baby born, stillborn, in comes my friend. So very often there's many, many scenarios where you could be inhabiting this body that has nothing to do with you choosing your parents. I'm just telling you a few of them. It's kind of fun to go look sometimes. I know I'm in my body because I had a connection with my father. We'd had an Egyptian life together, same as my older sister, who I didn't get along with that well, who was quite a bit older than me. But my mother was joyous. My mother had joy in her. When I looked at my, oh yeah, there's dad, there's my mom. That's an okay. Plus, I was leaving Germany and going to New Zealand. I was aware enough. Don't stay there. Go the other side of the earth. So there's a lot of those things that we have as myths that are carried on and on and on without anybody doing any really looking to see what the relevancy is. How relevant is it? I know there was something else I wanted to talk about too. Oh, one of my favorite ones lately. Do what you love and the money will follow. How many of you have heard that? How many of you have tried it? Several of you, I'm sure. What they don't tell you, I never read the book, but a friend of mine did, and said, this is all about business. Well, of course. You cannot go and start and do something unless you know how to run a business. If you got, I mean, some of us do artwork and stuff. Even then, how are you going to get it sold? You've got to have some basic common sense. I didn't know I knew how to run a big business, but ended up being at one point nearly $750,000. I just did it. But you learn certain things. And when I hear people come, I had a friend that came in and all excited because she'd listened to that tape, do what you love and the money will follow. And I just held my breath and basically said, good God. Because I knew this person had not a brain of anything that would work. But what are you doing? People are allowed their own experiences. It's not my place to judge somebody. If she'd come to me and said, what do you think of this? I would have told her. But she didn't. She said, oh, I've read this book and blah, 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 I'm going to do blah, blah, blah. The thing is, she didn't really read the book. She took the concept and figured that she could do it. Myths. Watch the new thought or new age or whatever you want to call it, myths that are out there. Come back to basics. Does it work? Check it out. I'll tell you, if you want to create something, decide it will be. There's no doubt in your mind that you're going to have it. You just don't always know what time. I had trouble with a lot of the courses I took at one time. You know, you have to put a date on it. Oh, it drove me into stress. There's no way those things were going to come in. I was so stressed. Oh, my God. What if it doesn't come in? So I said, oh, the heck with that. I'm not doing it that way. So I just said, okay, this is what I want. And you know what? Whenever anything arrived, it was at the perfect time. Perfect time. Because from when I wanted it, and when it came, I had come to understand and learn a whole pot of new stuff. Whole lot of new stuff. So how much time have I got now, Mr.?
According to this, you have 20, but no. Tom might have other.
I think on
10:30.
I don't have an 10:30 anymore.
Hang on. I've got my magic wand here. I just didn't want to.
It's a.
I have 6 actually, but that's all right.
One of the things when we have a long discourse like this is to make sure you're not bored. I would hate anyone to be bored in any of my lectures or workshops, believe me. Because life is so exciting. We have our spiritual journey. Tarot for me spells it out. When I got lost, I went back and said, what's going on? Oh my God, there it is. Showed me exactly what I had done incorrectly. Got too big for my boots, figured I knew it all. You see, what happens, we have an aspect of us that will deceive ourselves. Don't ever kid yourself that you've cleared all your stuff. It hides. Yeah. I was doing a past life regression workshop the other week, and in the middle of a quiet time, it came to me why I was not well. And how all my life, every time I got overwhelmed emotionally, I got sick. And I had a very tough month, 6 months last year. And even into January, February, March. And I'm thinking, but why did it have to last so long now? I should just get sick before I carry on, right? But I got to see the pattern. And that's what we look at. That's what I look at for people. What is the pattern in your life? What isn't working? Sometimes it's a little attitude. I haven't spoken today about attitudes. I'm big on attitudes. How you think, feel, and respond, the most often, is how you drive your life. And if you have attitudes that are not supporting you, your life won't work. It might work here, it might work there, but over-effectively it will not work. Can't. Because we create by how we think, feel, and respond. So what's going out is going to be creating your path to go. And yes, you'll have wonderful meditations where love is everywhere, but I bet you, you're like me, you don't live in a 24/7. I just thought when I had my great experience of being at knowing without a doubt that I was absolutely loved and that everybody in the planet was loved equally. That was a big one. I figured that was it. But you know what? Life happens. And you have to get in there and you have to prep things and you have to do your dishes and you've got a kid finding you up and having trouble and you've got this and you've got clients and you've got students and all of a sudden, oh, what happened to that euphoria? It takes time to get back into that. So it's how we deal with that basic life is where I work mostly with people and clearing out their blocks for them so that they really can create and be happy, be fruitful in their lives. So when you get to be my age and you look back, you don't have regrets. Oh, I might have a few, but there's not enough, I'm not charged enough for me to worry about it, I'll tell you that. I'm just going to cancel that. And guilt, what's the use? Guilt is always your other person's expectation, by the way. I have one more thing I want to share. Because I mentioned expectations. Most of us have expectations when they're up here and they don't deal with reality. And when they crash into reality, we're sad and we're hurt and often blamed. The truth is we didn't look at our reality. We wanted this and we got that. But if we had looked at that and made this the goal and worked with that, we would have gone and everything would have been okay. Life is there for you. It's for you to enjoy. It's for you to have. And when you have that energy of knowing that you are supported 100% by the divine, you can create whatever you want. I always say, you cannot think it if you cannot do it. If you think, oh, it would be nice to go to Mongolia. You can go to Mongolia. You may not go to Mongolia because it means you have to give up something else, but you can do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the thought. But know, what you're thinking. Know that you have all the possibilities in the world. And mostly, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. Thank you.